Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Thanks, Anu. Very well, thank you.
Thank
Beautiful
you.
spring in California.
It's actually not, it was sunny here in London, but it's okay, although I think it's supposed to be raining a lot tomorrow. Let's kick off, oh, as we always like to do, and kind of recap kind of the data, speeches, market reactions over the past week. And it seems like this, again, the market kind of chasing its tail maybe in both directions. Obviously yields have been coming down with some of the data in line or even maybe a bit weaker than what was expected. And kind of, obviously you're going to go a lot deeper. So yeah, what's your big takeaways over this past week?
Oh, we've had the classic situation where the market reacted over the data. Fed speakers tried to tell the market not so fast. And of course, as usual, market only listens to what it wants to listen to. So yeah, I mean, the CPI was in line. So if you look at the details, they are not great. We're not seeing the services disinflation the Fed would like to see. And then we had some disappointment with retail sales, but it's a super noisy series. It's only a small fraction of total consumption. Basically, it's goods and restaurants and services are actually doing better than goods consumption. And then we had a bit of a disappointment on housing starts. So with all these markets, I think pricing something like two cuts by the end of the year. And then, we've had Fed speakers, Williams, Mester. So Mester is a hawk. The next FOMC is going to be her last one. She's retiring, but they tried to pour cold water on the market enthusiasm, saying we'll have to stay higher for longer, but I mean, so far, no impact.
Have they announced who's going to replace her?
Oh, no. I mean, it's the Fed is a very, it's an institution that is very complex. And replacement of regional Fed president has taken a long time. I think in the case of Esther George, it must have taken close to a year. So, no, they have a search committee. They are probably looking for, all the right attribute, not just technocratic, but, in terms of representing the trends of modern American society, I would say modern American society on the coast, East Coast and West Coast, not sure
Okay.
about the rest of
Right.
the country. So this is going to take a while.
Right. Okay. So life goes on. So she'll wait to step down, or she'll step down, they'll just have less voters.
So the way it works is that there will be an acting president who will represent her on the FOMC.
Okay, so yields coming down, some of these cuts coming back, being priced in, you don't really buy that. And I guess the market is more focused on this potential extra rate cuts in then maybe we're entering some stagflation because the market kind of rallied off the back of that. So you don't really see this stagflation environment. I mean, I looked like is the Atlanta Fed is still predicting GDP of like 3%. Is that right for Q2?
Right. I mean, it's not it's not it's like all forecasts, they have quantitative methodologies. They stick to it in a consistent manner. It's a bit of a hit and miss, but yeah, I mean, if you look at the fundamental, they still support growth above trend. And on this one, Powell quipped in his last presser that he didn't see the stag or the inflation anywhere of And for once, I'm happy to be fully behind Chair Powell. I agree. I mean, come on, we have about 3 million immigrants coming to the US. That's what we had last year and what we are likely to have this year. This is just that alone is going to give a big boost to growth. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then again, I guess somewhat help in suppressing wages, certainly in the lower end.
Definitely. But what's interesting is that wages have stabilized. I mean, wage growth seems to be stabilizing, which would be consistent with the skills mismatch
Right.
between that of the immigrant who are undocumented, so mostly low skill. And even if they have the skills, they don't meet the US licensing requirements and all kinds of requirements. So it's not clear how much of an impact they can have on wages.
Right. Okay. So your general view is still inflation's still just a bit too sticky, especially services. And you're not calling for no cuts, but most likely no cuts this year. Certainly until you see, particularly on services, wage services, until you really see that coming down. You just
But
can't see the Fed really moving, but in general, it should. We don't necessarily need those cuts for equities to continue to hold relatively strong.
exactly. I mean, to me, what's fascinating is listening to market participants saying that inflation is a bit higher than the Fed target, but look, it's stable. It's good. It's stable. So, if the market is prepared to accept the 3%, where I think the range where I think inflation is going to stay this year, they see it as stable. Given that we have all these immigrants pushing down on the share of labor in income, so the share of profit is going to go up or remain where it is, which is a historic, close to its historical high. I think it's very good for equities.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of time, or sometimes some of our clients, some of our listeners kind of misinterpret your and even like last year and the year before, your relatively hawkish, more hawkish view of the Fed, that's bad for equities. But it's not necessarily. In fact, specifically this influx of additional workers is really helping to generally, well, keep up demand and hold profit margins pretty high. And I remember 2 years ago we were talking about that was the big thing. Everyone said, well, look how large profit margins. This was even exacerbated by what happened during COVID. And like if we return to 10, 15 years ago, equities will get crushed. But that wasn't really their view that we had. And it's obviously turned out, obviously played out. Rates have held high and the equities have done well.
And the thing is, for this year, the Fed can credibly do nothing with inflation around 3% and say we are in a wait and see mode. If inflation remains around 3% into next year, then the Fed will have to do something. So I'm saying for now, it's okay. We could still have, strong equities. I think the problems come next year when the Fed has to choose perhaps between the growth and inflation. But for now, yeah, things look good.
It looks okay. Okay, cool. All right, so let's hop in for next week. Doesn't look like a massive week for data, but let's go through anything that stands out, data, speeches, and I guess any serious market reactions and anything political wise, should people be focusing on?
Okay, so yeah, data-wise, not much. It's more second-tier data. So we have the S&P PMIs, something the market cares a lot about. I don't care as much because, as Bilal showed in our webinar, a week ago, the PMIs and the GDP have really decoupled. So I have a link in my next week piece that our listeners can check to Bilal, some really nice charts. But I
So
understand.
your view would be clients should act if we see a big negative view, say a big negative print, don't assume like that's going to be indicative of actually, if anything,
So,
people could look to fade that.
from a purely economic perspective, yes, but for a trading perspective, it's important for people. And we have this, event trading guide against the links are in the week ahead piece. So I hope clients will check this out.
Oh, like recent historical moves on PMIs have actually been quite large. I think one of the biggest impacts on a lot of dollar FX pairs and also 2 and 10 year yields. Okay, I got it.
100%, and we've documented all those moves across asset classes. So I hope our clients will find this helpful. So we also have durable goods, and to me, the more interesting part of the durable good, it's a capital goods order. And what's interesting is that it's been going nowhere fast for over a year. In real terms, if anything, shrinking, while you've had this big increase in manufacturing construction. So obviously, with the administration, dishing out literally 100 billions of subsidy to private manufacturer every year, they are in the stage of building their factories. At some point, they will have to fill them with equipment, which will add even more to demand pressure, and in my view, to the overheating we are in. So I'm not seeing that happening yet in the data, and the consensus view on durable goods and durable and capital goods order that it's flattish. It's consistent with this, no big increase in equipment CapEx. I think the increase comes later. So we have that. And then we have home sales. We've had a big increase in residential investment in the first quarter, which I think is one of the drivers of the US economy sliding into overheating, which you can see in the trade balance, for instance. So the market there sees home sales, new and existing, as moving sideways or slightly down, will be interesting to see if there is a negative surprise. It would perhaps signal that the uptrend is not continuing, possibly
Right.
because of where mortgage rates are. So that one is an interesting one from a medium-term perspective. So that's about it for the data. Then we have the Fed. So I will call this the Waller week because he's speaking three times. So the first time he's giving a commencement address, and this is commencement season for the Fed because I think today Mary Daly is giving one. I think Powell next week is also giving a commencement. But there have been a number of those. I mean, it's commencement season.
Yeah, let's see if there's any like graduating students walk out or anything as a protest the Fed.
The Fed, very good question. I think the Fed is quite
Probably not
public.
worth touching on too much, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully none of that happens. So Waller, he's giving a commencement. Then he's talking about the US economy. And in my view, he's probably the more influential FOMC participant. And then he's talking about STAR, something that I'm not very fond of, but it's still interesting to listen to what he has to say. So I'll definitely be posting comments on this one. And then there is a speech by Jefferson, so the vice chair. And I don't think we are going to get any inputs to figure out where the Fed is at, because Jefferson has a very cautious communication style. He writes very interesting things, but they tend to be more on the academic side, very hard to get practical, real-time implication for monetary policy. And I think it's likely to be the case once more. But here is what I think is interesting about the speech. It's a theme. It's about the economic outlook and housing. And housing is really key. And it shows how focused on housing and the lack of housing disinflation the Fed is. And it's something that has been mentioned by several FOMC participants. Goolsbee, Bauman about two weeks ago mentioned the risk that immigration could be putting pressure on rents because the US has a lack of affordable housing. And I would add that in general, there has been an underinvestment in real estate after the GFC. And I think it's coming back to bite us basically with this increase in demand. And of course, we will have the minutes, but the minutes are going to tell us, I think, not to get ahead of our skis with the rate cuts and repeat, that the Fed needs more confidence, blah, 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 the usual Fed spiel. I'm not sure the market will be listening, but it's going to be there.
Okay, awesome. As we like to do at the end of our talks, I'll just highlight a few pieces for our professional clients. Veresh just released a piece today. It said, "Kiss goodbye to multiple expansion if rates rise further." I think you're not calling for much higher rates from here, but certainly if the Fed's on hold and we do see the curve flattening somewhat, then or steepening, we could see something interesting there. Henry's released kind of an updated or approach to his PCA model on developed market rates. So that's an interesting take. I know a lot of clients have asked about that. Bilal talking about what could derail the risk rally, that kind of points to three specific things. Other key thing, oh, the so we've just launched, I mean, we've done a few in the past, but we launched as a new category, thematic. So these are much more bigger picture type pieces, specifically in the emerging market space. So highly recommend that. This is kind of written by Mirza, looking at the relationship between the growth in equity markets and emerging markets and currencies, and it's super interesting stuff to take away there. Some more interesting things in EM, a lot of model work that we put out, obviously comments by you and others talking about CPI and what we think the impact is. And then G10, FX, obviously the bit we've been in a pretty tight ranges in a lot of currency pairs, not just even just dollar pairs, but again, we outline what our key trades are, and also across the kind of G10 space, how we rank the different currencies, something I really enjoy, find a lot of value in. Updated piece on energy, a lot of stuff on China. Obviously, a lot of pretty strong demand on kind of manufacturing and exporting, but looks a lot weaker on kind of the internal and retail sales and services there. It's a bit different from the US. So some interesting stuff. Love for people to come back and check that stuff out. And I don't want to steal your thunder, but as always, give us some good feedback. So Dominic, any parting words?
Please keep the feedback going. Negative feedback, especially helpful. And other than that, good luck, everybody, on the market this coming week.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Andrew.